Good day, dear friends, and welcome to all of you to our program today. I want to wish you on behalf of all of us at Radio Maria, in a very special way from myself, Father Robert Young, a very glorious, happy Easter to all of you. To begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the resurrection of your Son, you have brought the kingdom of your will into being. You have drawn us all into that new life, the life of your own divine will, reigning here on earth as in heaven through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. We praise you, we glorify you, we love you, and thank you for this gift of new life that we celebrate today. And it is a new life that has begun in all of us at baptism and is now growing and developing in each one of our lives and our bodies and souls as we come to learn more and more about the kingdom of your will and how you want it to take place in us here on earth. So we invite that risen life of your divine will to come and think in our thoughts at this moment, in every moment, to listen in our listening, to speak in our speaking, to be in our memories, our intellects, our wills, so that we can absorb and not only understand, but appropriate, possess this gift. Finally, with love, with the love of the Holy Spirit that draws us all into the kingdom. Heavenly Father, we do this for ourselves, but we do it also for all the members of your church, all the members of our own families, all of humanity from Adam and Eve to the last man and woman on earth. We thank you and glorify you on behalf of all for the great gift of your will reigning on earth as in heaven, the restoration of that kingdom, which comes into being through the mystery of the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. We always ask Mary, the Queen of this kingdom, Queen of the divine will, help us to know what it means to live always in the will of God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us, and all you angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, on this Easter time, Easter Sunday, if you're hearing the program at Easter Sunday or whenever you're going to listen to it, once again, a happy Easter from all of us at Radio Maria. As we begin with our next passage from Volume 19 of Luisa's Diary, this is, by the way, the last one that St. Hannibal de Francia received the imprimatur for, and which he was able to then publish in a volume form. He published the first 19. So we give thanks also for St. Hannibal today and all the work that he did to help Luisa to edit and to have printed and published this great work, this great sign of our time for the new evangelization, for the coming of the kingdom to reign on earth as in heaven. And in a very special way, in this year dedicated to God's mercy, a jubilee of mercy, we're celebrating Easter now in this jubilee, as God's greatest mercy to us, of course, is the restoration of the kingdom through the death and resurrection of Jesus, made known to us now in a more explicit and complete way through St. Faustina Kowalska, and the teachings on the divine mercy, and through Luisa Picaretta, little daughter of the divine will. The next passage is dated May 6, 1926. Title says, How the ones who live in the divine will are the first in the eyes of God and form his crown. The divine will unites all who live in it and the acts done in it as one single act. And the origin of one who lives in it is eternal. Luisa writes, I was fusing myself in the holy divine volition, according to my usual way, and I prayed the celestial mama to be with me, to give me her hand, so that guided by her I might requite my God with all the love, the adoration, and the glory that everyone owes him. Now while I was saying this, my beloved Jesus moved in my interior and said to me, My daughter, you must know that the first before the Supreme Majesty, or those who have lived in my volition and to have never gone out of my will. My mama came to the world after 4,000 years, yet in the eyes of God, she came before Adam. Her acts, her love, are in the first order of creation, and therefore her acts come before all the acts of creatures, because she was the closest to God, bound to him with the tightest bonds of sanctity, of union, and of likeness. By living in our will, her acts became inseparable from ours, and being inseparable, these acts are the closest as something natural to her Creator. Before and after do not exist in our will, but everything is first act. Therefore, one who lives in our will, even if she came as last, comes always before everything. So it is not the era in which souls come out to the light of time that will be considered, but whether the life of my will has been in them as center of life, reigning and dominating in all of their acts, just as it reigns and dominates in the womb of the divinity. These will be the first. Their acts, done in our will rise above all the acts of the other creatures, and all will remain behind. Therefore, these souls will be our crown. So you see, dear friends, we live in time, and it's not easy for us to conceive this idea, the concept of eternity. We just don't, we don't live in eternity. We don't know. Everything in our lives is conditioned, determined by time. But Jesus is saying in the will of God, that's not the case. Because the will of God, of course, is eternal. And everything God does in his divine will, of course, is eternal. So he's saying those who have the will of God operating in them as his greatest of all gifts, his own power, his own dominion, his own divine life, carrying out its work in its life in us, that they too, in a sense, are living both in time here on earth, but also in eternity. Granted, those in heaven are living only in eternity, but we're, in a sense, living in both worlds, because heaven is the will of God, and the will of God is heaven. So if we have the will of God, we're also living in eternity. So he's saying, those of you who, and us, who are living in the will of God, have this eternal mode, this eternal dimension to everything we do. All of our acts, the slightest blink of an eye, the thoughts, whatever it is, the circulating of our blood, our breaths and heartbeats, everything is then an eternal act. And he's saying, therefore, we can talk about what happens in time in a chronological order, in Greek chronos, but there's another kind of time in Greek called kairos, and that's the kind of time we're talking about, the kind of time in which things are brought to fulfillment, in which there is an eternal now that's going on. You see, in God, all time is kairos. It is all an eternal now. So for us who live in the divine will, this will of God is making everything we do eternal, because they're inseparable from God and from his own eternal will. He said they are the closest thing and as natural to, for us to be co-natural with the Creator, which we're not. But he's saying this is as close as you can get as a creature. And of course, Mary was the closest of all because she had it with her from the moment of her conception, that closeness, intimacy with the will of God reigning in her. We are not born with it, conceived with it as Mary was. We have to gain it. We have to learn it. So for us, it happens, you see, in time. And it was in time for Mary also, but perfectly in time. Ours is not perfectly. It grows. And this growth and this increase and this progress and development that we all make in the will of God, we have to learn to see as the most important thing in our lives. It's the most important thing to God. Because it, as he says, what to the extent that our wills, our human wills, have been united with God's will, to that extent alone are we able to allow the divine will to carry out its work in us, to have its full effects. So this rising that he says, the acts done in our will rise above all the other acts of creatures, not only when we die, but even now in time, because these acts are done in time, but they're also done in eternity. Yes, when we die, like Louisa, all of the effects and all of the fulfillment of these acts will come to their perfection in the kingdom of God. But even now, what we are doing in time has eternal effects on heaven, on purgatory, and on earth. So he says, even though you might come last, Louisa, 2,000 years after the redemption, he says, everything that you are doing is in the light of eternity always there, because your acts are always there. Therefore, you come first before anyone who does something, say, 2,000 years ago, but did not do it in the divine will. Therefore, of course, Mary's acts after Jesus's precede all the others, because she is first in having done her acts from the moment of her conception perfectly and always. Ours are not that perfect, especially at the beginning, but can grow and increase in that way. So he says, therefore, even though one who lives in our will comes last, she always comes before everyone and everything else. So he says, see, as you were calling my mama in my will to give me a return of love, adoration, and glory, my will united the two of you together. And the love, the glory, the adoration which the sovereign queen did have become your acts, and yours have become those of my mama. My will placed everything in common. One has become inseparable from the other, and I heard in you the voice of my mama. Her love, her adoration, her glory. And in my mama, I heard your voice, loving me, adoring me, glorifying me. How happy I felt in finding and hearing the mama in the daughter, and the daughter in the mama. My will unites everyone and everything. It would not be true living in my will, nor a work of my will, if it did not centralize everything that belongs to it and all of its eternal works in the soul who lives in it, in whom it has its kingdom and dominion. If it were not so, the kingdom of my will would be a divided kingdom, which cannot be, because my will unites all its works together and makes of them one single act. So the will of God, of course, is the one great mystery that unites everything. It is the source of unity, even in God himself. Three persons, one will. It is what unites us on earth. See, why can we be one body in Christ? Because the church has one will, the will of God, reigning in it. Granted, because it's still on earth and is the militant church, it's not perfect, you see. So just as in the humanity of Jesus, people could not see the divinity if they didn't have the eyes of faith to see God in Jesus, so too in the church, you see. Without the eyes of faith, we too don't see the divinity in the church. But that's our problem, just as it was the problem for those in the time of Jesus who didn't see his divinity in his humanity. What we look at is only the humanity. But of course, in this reality of the body of Christ is the divine will uniting the church. How else could it endure for over 2,000 years, you see? And as we celebrated on Holy Thursday, of course, the evening of the Lord's Supper, we celebrate the one life of God in Jesus, in the Eucharist, that forms us into that one body. And certainly in baptism, it's the same as the divine will comes to reign in our souls, each one of us. It also unites us to all the other souls that have received the will of God through baptism. That's why it incorporates us into the church. So in all of this, in God himself, in the church, and even in creation, there is one will that has created it all. Unfortunately, the will of man has separated itself and fallen out of that reign of God's will, chosen to by our parents, Adam and Eve, and all the those who have come after them, their progeny. But the will of God is still reigning, even though we may not see it in creation. May not be reigning in man as it should, but it is certainly reigning in the rest of creation. And creation looks at us and feels pity for us because we're the only part of it that's out of sync, other than the devils, and they're consigned to hell. But we who are still on earth still suffer the consequences of a divided will, our will separated from God's. But that's not God's fault. That's our fault. So he's saying, as Louisa was calling Mary into to be united with her will and her will with that of Mary, he says, it's my will that united you. You know, it's so true of everything in our lives, not only the church, but we think of our own human families. What unites us, what makes us one, is when there's one will. It's when our wills are united in the one will of God. And of course, the reason there's so much sorrow and trouble and division in families today, and all the separations that happen, because the will of God is not reigning. And we could say it's the same problem for the church today. All the ways in which God's will does not reign in the human element of the church, which is us, causes the will of the Father not to be able to unite in the way that it would. The will of the Trinity is not able to bring the fullness of unity that God wants by his will to happen. It's true in our individual lives. Because our human will is still broken and separated from God's will, we don't have a unity, an integrity, a wholeness in our person. And so we can see that, if you think about it, this focus on the will of God being restored as a reigning will, the will that has dominion and power over ourselves and over everything else, is the most important thing that we can pray for, and the one thing that Jesus proclaimed when he came to earth. So it's everything. Everything else is subordinate to that and subservient to it. That the will of God and its reign, that unity of God, is everything, dear friends. And so whatever we do in our prayer, whatever we do in our rounds, in our acts in the divine will, whatever we can do to make it known to other people and to help those who are making it known to carry out their mission, then all of that contributes, you see, to this one restoration of the unity of God's will coming to earth. It will have an effect on terrorism. It will have an effect on families. It will have an effect on individuals. Everything will be touched by it because the will of God includes everything. It is the source of everything and brings it all together. So he says, when Luis is praying with Mary, he says, it's my will that's bringing you together. It's my will that places everything in the two of you. How happy I felt in finding and hearing my mama in my daughter and my daughter in the mama, for it's my will that unites. If it were not so, the kingdom would be a divided kingdom. And it is not a divided kingdom in itself. The kingdom of God is one whole, complete kingdom. But the problem is, we on earth are separated from it. That's the problem, not God's kingdom. So he says, even though it is said that it creates, it redeems, it sanctifies, and so on, these are the effects of that single act which never changes its action. Therefore, the origin of one who lives in my will is eternal, inseparable from her Creator, and from all those in whom my will has had its kingdom and its dominion. See, this is what unites us to heaven at this moment. It's what unites us with the souls in purgatory. It's what unites us with all the souls on earth, and why we can say what we do now affects everybody else. And that's the teaching of the church. We call it the communion of saints and the mystical body of Christ. Everything touches has an effect on everything and everyone else, for the good or for the bad. But of course, if it's done in the kingdom of God, in the will of God, it will have an effect for good. And so, dear friends, we thank God for this gift and for the knowledge of it and for the unity that it brings, and we pray. Let us pray in a very special way. The graces of this Easter season will bring unity to our hearts, our lives, our families, our church, and to our world. In God's most holy will, we pray, through Christ our Lord and through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Queen of the Divine Will. With that, we complete that passage of May 6, 1926. Let's take a short musical interlude, and we'll return in just a moment to continue with the next passage, which is written 4 days later, May 10th, 1926. Please stay with us. This is Radio Maria, Christian Voice in Your Home, and we're going to return in just a moment. Today. And once again, on behalf of myself, Father Robert Young, and all of us at Radio Maria, we wish you a most glorious Easter season. And may the divine will bring you and yours joy, great peace, and unity throughout these holy days. Let's continue now with our next passage dated May 10th, 1926. Just as the sun is life of all nature, the divine will is life of the soul. The effects of the rising of the sun of the divine will in the soul, the innumerable bilocations, and the continuous course of the sun of the divine will in the acts of the creature. Louisa writes, "My poor mind was swimming in the immense sea of the eternal volition, and my sweet Jesus transported me outside of myself in the act in which the sun was rising. What enchantment to see the earth and the plants, the flowers, the sea, undergoing such a transformation. All of them freed themselves of a nightmare that oppressed them. all of them rose to the new life which the light gave to them, and acquired their beauty and development, which the light and the heat gave them in order to make them grow. The light seemed to take them by the hand in investing them to give fruitfulness to plants and color to flowers, to dispel the shadows of darkness from the sea and give it its silvery shades with its light. But who can say all the effects that the solar light produced by investing all the earth, covering everything with its garment of light? I would be too long if I wanted to describe everything. So, of course, this favorite image of Jesus to talk about the divine will, and Louisa's as well, is always the sun. It's also the most perfect image for us of the resurrection, isn't it? That the sun rises at dawn to cast forth light and warmth and fruitfulness upon us and upon the earth, to dispel the shadows of darkness, and, as she says, to give its silvery shades with its light. So this is the, she says, the nightmare, the dark night of the human will is now overcome, overshadowed, if you will, by the light of the divine will that comes now to cast its light over that darkness, that nightmare of the human will. She says, while I was seeing this, my beloved Jesus said to me, my daughter, how beautiful is the rising of the sun, how it changes all of nature. And by transforming it into its very light, it gives to each thing the effects needed to make them produce the good they contain. But in order to do this, the light must invest them, touch them, mold them, penetrate so deep into them as to give them sips of light in order to infuse the life of the good which they must produce. So if the plants, the flowers, the seed did not let themselves be invested by the light would be as though dead for them, and they would remain in the nightmare of darkness, which would serve as the tomb to bury them. The virtue of darkness is to give death. The virtue of light is to give life. So if it wasn't for the light of the sun, on which all created things are dependent and from which all of them receive life, nothing good would be on earth. On the contrary, it would be frightening and horrible to sight. Therefore, the life of the earth is bound to the light of the sun. Very interesting, if you think about it, that God has given us this most beautiful and natural image for the divine will in the sun. And, of course, the earth, representing the human will, was created to live fully dependent and in union with the divine will, the Son of God's will. But of course, as Jesus says, if the earth chooses not to receive that light of the sun, then it dies, and whatever doesn't receive the light of the sun cannot live. So certainly any vegetation, you know, any animals, including the human variety, all of us could not live without the sun. Now, minerals, granted, in the heart of the earth could live. Well, they don't live because they're really not living organisms as we are. They have some form of molecular life, it's true. But in the growth of creation, things that grow, there is always the need for light and for warmth of the sun. So he's saying it's when the earth doesn't receive the light that things die. It's when the earth of our human will doesn't unite with the will of God that it too suffers a spiritual death. It can still operate on its own, but it's dead. It's dead to God. It's dead to true life. It's dead to eternity. It's dead to love. And so when our human will is one with the will of God, then we truly have life. So he goes on, my daughter, the sun is the symbol of my will. You've seen how beautiful and enchanting is its rising over the earth, how many effects it produces, how many different colors, how many beauties, how many transformations its light can produce, how the sun has been placed there by its creator in order to give life, growth, and beauty to all. So if this is what the sun does in order to fulfill its office given to it by God, much more does the sun of my will, which was given to man to infuse in him the life of his creator. To infuse into man the life of his creator. That's why God gave us his will, that his own life could be one with ours. Oh, how much more enchanting, how beautiful is the rising of the sun of my will over the creature. But pounding on her, its light transforms her and gives her the different colors of the beauty of her creator. By investing her and molding her, it penetrates into her, gives her sips of divine life that she may grow and produce the effects of the goods which the life of her creator contains. See, if the life of God is there in us, given to us as gift, then the effects of that life are also there. Because whatever God does, whether he's doing it in himself, call that ad intra, within himself, or outside of himself in us, has the same effects. So we heard yesterday that beautiful image of the king going to choose to live in a little hovel. He's still the king. He's still doing everything he does with all the same power, with all the same effects, but he's doing it from a different place. That's what he's saying here. When the Son of God's will operates in our earthly humanity, it's still the eternal Son of God's will that's operating with all of its effects. Now, what would happen to the earth without the sun? Much more ugly and frightening would the soul be without my will. How she decays from her origin. How the nightmare of passions and vices, even more than darkness, makes her die and prepares the tomb in which to bury her. But you have seen that the light of the sun can do good in so far as the plants and the flowers and the other things let themselves be touched and invested by the light, remaining with their mouths open in order to receive the sips of life which the sun gives to them. So it is with my will. It can do so much good, can infuse so much beauty and divine life, for as much as the soul lets herself be touched, invested, molded by the hands of the light of my will. If the soul allows herself to be the prey, P-R-E-Y, to be the victim of this light, to receive it, abandoning herself completely to it, my supreme will perform the greatest prodigy of creation, the divine life in the creature. The greatest prodigy of creation, dear friend, was and is the will of God reigning, living, operating, doing what it does in the soul of you and me, a man, a woman, a child. This is what we're celebrating here. It's what Easter's about. It's what the life of Jesus and Mary are all about. It's what the kingdom is about. It's what the church is about. It's what God is about, is the reigning of one will. And why is it that God reveals himself as a family of persons, a community of persons, so that we could be infused with that one will that unites the family of God? And that by having, possessing that one will ourselves, we too can be united with God, first of all, because that's where the will comes from, that's his will, but then, of course, with each other as well. Says it can do so much good if the soul allows herself, abandons herself, himself, to this divine life of God's will that wants to operate, that was intended to operate in us from the beginning. He said, oh, if the sun could form with the reflection of its light as many other suns on each plant, in the seas, on the mountains, in the valleys, what more beautiful enchantment, what beauty more radiant, how many more prodigies would there not be in the order of nature? He's saying, the more the sun gives its light and the more nature receives it, the more beauty there is, the more plants there are, the more animals, the more life, the more health, the more growth. Yet what the sun does not do, my will does in the soul who lives in it.
and who remains with her mouth open like a little flower, in order to receive the sips of light which my will gives her to form the life of the divine Son within her. The image I'm having is that of a little baby bird in the nest. We've all seen, perhaps in person, those little baby birds waiting for the mama to drop that food into its mouth, and how anxious and eager and how wide open those little beaks are to receive. That's what he's talking about. Therefore, be attentive. Take in every instant these sips of light of my will, that it may accomplish in you the greatest of prodigies, that my will may have its divine life in the creature. You see, be ready in every instant, dear friend, in every moment, to receive a sip. You know, that it doesn't come all at once. It comes in sips of the divine will. And little droplets of light, photons of light, that we receive moment by moment, act by act, everything that we're doing. So just be attentive to it. Keep the mouth of your human will open, you know, the eyes and ears of your soul open to receive this outpouring of light, little sips of light of God's will. Because he says, this is what gives it the effect. This is, and the more open you are, the more often you're aware of it, the more uniting you are of your consciousness with that of Jesus and Mary and receiving the will of God in every moment, then the more it happens. The greater the possession, the greater the effects that God can have on the world, on all of humanity. Louisa says, after this, I was saying to my highest and only good, my love, I unite my intellect to yours so that my thoughts may have life in yours. So she's doing exactly now. She's practicing what he just taught. Diffusing myself in your will, may my thoughts flow over each thought of every creature. Rising together before our celestial Father, we will bring him the homages, the subjection, the love, adoration, each thought of creatures. And we will impetrate, beg that all created intellects may be reordered and harmonized with their Creator. And the same with the gazes of Jesus, his words, his works, his steps, even with his heartbeats. Louisa says, I felt all transformed into Jesus in such a way that I found myself as though in act in everything that Jesus had done and was doing to restore the glory of the Father and in the good he had impetrated for creatures. His work was one with mine, one the love, one the will. My sweet Jesus added, my daughter, how beautiful is the prayer, the love, the work of the creature in my will. Her acts are filled with the whole of the divine fullness. And Paul says, in Jesus dwells the fullness of divinity, the fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of God. Well, he's saying in our acts in which the divine will, the divinity, is reigning and operating, well, the fullness, he says, of the whole fullness of God is there. You see, it's all there, but its effects and its capacity to carry out what it wants is also relative to the fullness with which we give ourselves to it and receive it. It says, their fullness is such that they embrace everything and everyone, even God himself. See, for all eternity, your thoughts will be seen in mine, your eyes, your words in mine, your works and steps in mine, your heartbeat palpitating in mine, because one is the will that gives us life, one the love that moves us, that pushes us, that binds us, in an inseparable way. You know, the key here for me is this: for all eternity, this thought that you have right now on earth has existed and will exist if it's in the will of God. If the will of God is operating in this thought, it exists for all eternity and will go on for all eternity to the glory of God and to your eternal glory, because you participate in the glory of God to the extent you have come to share it here on earth. That glory goes on forever. You know, I was thinking as I read this, John's Gospel, Jesus says, Father, restore to me the glory I had with you before the creation of the world. That glory Jesus has with the Father from all eternity, why must it be restored? Because humanity, created in the image and likeness of God through Christ, has lost that glory by the fall of Adam and Eve. Jesus has now restored it, and by restoring humanity to the kingdom of God, to the reign of God's will, his glory can now be restored. And the glory of the Father, accidental glory, of course, not God's intrinsic glory. That's never going to change. But the accidental glory that God was to receive, meant, ordered to receive from creation, can now be restored through his Son. The fullness of that accidental glory can return to God through Jesus because of his life, death, and resurrection in the will of the Father, perfectly in the will of God. What he's saying is when we do this with him now, we keep it going, we continue this work of his redemption and the work of the Holy Spirit of sanctification, we are restoring with him that glory, you see. And for all eternity, that glory goes on. It's not a temporal glory, you see. And that's why we only come to know it when we enter eternity. We enter the eternal glory. Then we know, as Louisa saw, the effects of what we've done. But now we have to live not by, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight. So we're walking by faith in the divine will, living in this kingdom moment by moment, step by step, trusting that Almighty God knows what he's doing and what he has promised, and he will be faithful to those promises. He says, their fullness is such, these acts have such fullness. And all Louise is doing here is a round of her thoughts, uniting them to all the thoughts of creatures, you know, pouring her thought over them, because it's the thought of in God's will that's being poured over them, making them all perfect, bringing them in one act, one eternal act of love and glory and adoration back to God. She's doing that with her thoughts. That's simple. It's a child can learn to do this. So Jesus goes on, this is why the Son of my will surpasses in an infinite and more surprising way the Son present in the cosmos. See the great difference? The Son created by God while pounding on the earth invests it, produces admirable and innumerable effects, but it does not depart from its source. It descends down below, it rises up high, touches the stars, but the fullness of light remains always within its own sphere. Otherwise, it would not be able to invest everything with its light, always equally. But in spite of all this, the solar light does not penetrate into the heavens to invest the throne of God, to penetrate into God himself, and to make its light one with the inaccessible light of the Supreme Being. Nor can it invest the angels, the saints, the heavenly mama. On the other hand, when the Son of my will reigns in the soul with all its fullness, its light penetrates everywhere, to the hearts and to the minds of the creatures who live down on earth. Well, what surprises is that it rises up high. It invests the whole creation, brings the kiss of the light of the supreme will to the sun, to the stars, to the heavens. The divine will which reigns in the creation and the sun of the divine will which reigns in the soul meet. They kiss each other, love each other, and make each other happy. And while remaining in the creation, because the Son of my will leaves nothing behind, but brings everything with itself, it penetrates even into the heavens. It invests everyone, the angels, the saints, the sovereign queen. It gives its kiss to all, gives new joys and new contentments, new love to all. So Jesus is making a simple comparison here. The sun, which is a natural element created by God, he's saying, yes, it gives light and warmth to the earth, but it doesn't have the power, the capacity to go beyond the created universe. It can't go into heaven or purgatory. But he's saying, my will, the sun of my will, can do that. It penetrates all of even the inhabitants, the saints and angels of heaven. It pours mightily into the womb of God Himself, the Eternal One. It even touches the womb of God because it is the womb of God, the divine will from which everything comes. The divine will, by located in the creature, kisses, loves, adores the will reigning in God Himself. It brings everyone and everything to Him. And as they dive into each other, it rises again to follow its course. In fact, since the fullness of the Son of the Eternal Will is in the soul, the Son is at her disposal. And as she emits her acts, loving, praying, repairing, etc., this Son continues its course to give to all the surprises of its light, of its love, of its life. So while this Son of the Eternal Will rises and follows its course to perform its setting in the womb of the divinity, another one rises to follow its way, enveloping everything, even the celestial fatherland, to then have its golden sunset again in the womb of the Supreme Majesty. So following this comparison, this analogy with the sun in nature that we know, this orb, this star in our universe, he's saying the sun of God's will also has a rising and falling. Why? Because it's still operating in time. You know, in heaven, that's not the case. It's not a coming and going, a rising and falling. The sun is of God's will is always there. That is the light of heaven. But on earth, it's, you know, coming and going. So he's saying, in time, God's will is continually going through, you know, a rising and a setting. It's rising in every act that we do in time, and it's setting in the womb of the Eternal Father. Rising in our acts, our human acts, the divine will is rising in them. Why? Because in time, I'm saying, yes, fiat, let this act be one with your divine will. I receive all of the effects of it, and I want to distribute them, I want to multiply them, and give them to all of the universe, all of creation, especially all of my brothers and sisters. And then I want this act of the rising sun of God's will, with my will, to return to the womb of God, to return to Him the love, the glory, all that He's placed in this human act through the gift of His divine will. So its golden sunset is always in the womb of the Supreme Majesty because that's where it started. That's where it comes from. That's the only way it completes the divine circle, the divine cycle of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the bilocations of my will are innumerable. This sun rises at each act of the creature done within the sun of the Supreme Volition, which does not happen with the sun present in the atmosphere, which is always one, but cannot be multiplied. Only God's will has this capacity to multiply. Yes, creation is multiplied. We human beings are multiplied. In one sense, the light of the sun is always multiplied because the rays keep coming from it. But it doesn't multiply itself, its uniqueness, you see. And so he's saying only the divine will can multiply these eternal acts of God's will. You know, it's very interesting, too, that Jesus says, when he has many passages, beautiful passages about the resurrection of Jesus and how they are the perfect image for our acts done in the divine will. Why? Because in every act of the human will done with God's will, we have to go through a dying. We have to die to the human will. Why? So that the divine will can rise with, through that act, through that death of our human will, comes a new life of God's will. And this is only possible in time. The souls in purgatory are no longer voluntarily dying to their will, no longer dying to their will in heaven. That's over. It only happens on earth. The Paschal mystery is only present here. You can only die to your will on earth. And that's why it's so important that we do it on earth, that we get the job done here, because afterwards, dear friends, it's over. It's too late. Then it's all God's work. It's only God's will taking over. Yes, we're still free, but only within the dominion of God's will. no longer free to do our human will outside of God's will once we die. So he's saying, now multiply these setting, these risings of the Son of my will, multiply these resurrections, this new life that's coming to humanity and to all creation, this new glory you can give to God in every single moment and instant and act of your life. He says, if the Son had this virtue of making as many sons rise for as many times as it does its course over the earth, how many would there not be? What enchantment! How many more good works would the earth not receive? We do have that capacity, even though the sun, as glorious as it is in nature, cannot do what we can do, what God can do in us through the gift of our own human freedom. But dying to it, dear friends, is the necessary part. The dying of Jesus represents the death of all of us to the human will. He did it for us. If you don't feel capable of it, say, Lord, I can't do this. I unite it with your death. You're dying to your human will in every instant, not just in the garden, not just on the cross, not just in his suffering passion, but in every moment of his life, Jesus was dying to his human will. So the new life, the risen life of God's will could happen in his humanity. He's saying to you and to me, this is what following me is all about. This is why, if you don't take up your cross and follow me and die with me and die to that human willfulness in your life, you cannot be a part of me. You cannot enter into this kingdom, this risen life of God's will. This, dear friends, is the promise, it's the hope of everything. Therefore, how many goods does a soul who lives completely in my will not do? By giving her God the occasion to bilocate his will, for the king to have a new hovel to live in and to operate from, to bilocate his will, to let him repeat the prodigies which only a God can do. Having said this, he disappeared. I found myself back inside of myself. Louisa learns these things. She sees these things generally when her soul is taken out of her body. We have the grace of reading them, of hearing them through the writings of Louisa. He says, how many goods does this soul not do? Difference, we don't see them now, and you won't see them on earth, except maybe like Louise at the very moment of your death when you're making the Passover, when you're making the great transition to eternal life. But he says, these are the goods that only my will can do. And he says, they can only be done in this way, here in time, here on earth. Will you not join me? Will you not be a part of this great adventure? This great discovery, this great exploration into the kingdom of God's will. It's the most exciting, the most beautiful, the most perfect, the most glorious thing, the most glorious way any of us can live on earth, because it is here and now the life of heaven. So, dear friends, what an awesome gift it is, and how greatly we need to appreciate and how grateful we should be. And you know, I hope and pray that this Easter season we can all grow in our understanding of this rising of the Son of God's will in everything we do, in every act, in every thought, word, and deed. You know, letting them be, let these human acts be what God created them to be, which are acts of divine love and glory and adoration coming back to him from earth, from our own little hovel, our own little place that we occupy on this planet, in this universe. And yet, how marvelously, how greatly God loves us and wants us to be a part of it, to be one with him, to participate, to share in it as fully as we want, as we desire, by the gift of our own human will to his. So thanks for being with us in our program today. Dear friends, we hope and pray that it helps you in your own life in a very special way in the Easter time, to live more fully, to come to love, to possess, to live more fully the gift of God's will, rising on earth, reigning on earth in everything you and I do, bringing greater, greater salvation and sanctification to the world, and most of all, greater eternal glory to our Heavenly Father. Thanks for being with us. May God bless you and keep you and your loved ones always in the heaven of God's will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you and happy Easter.